You know, a scripture I love to use when I come into the stand is always, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. One thing we intend to do today is praise our Lord and Savior. That's the whole purpose for our being here. Purpose for being here is to preach the gospel and a fellowship in His Spirit, but we praise His name. If we're not giving Him honor and glory, then we have no business standing up here before you.
Amen.
Pray for me this morning. I've had something on my mind. Attended a wonderful meeting with Brother Mark serves down in Providence a couple weeks ago. And there was a lot of preaching on doctrine and doctrine and doctrine and doctrine. And it was beautiful. One continued right after the other. And these scriptures were on my mind at that time. I want to try to bring them out this morning. But, you know, I'm grateful to be with you and ask for your prayers. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 7. And in Matthew, the Lord, after He becomes of age and He comes on the scene and He's baptized by John the Baptist, He's carried off into the wilderness of Satan to be tempted. We know that. And He withstands all the temptations of Satan. And He starts, after He comes out in Matthew chapter 5, He says, "And seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came unto Him." From chapter 5 all the way to the end of chapter 7, we have our Lord given some doctrine. We have our Lord given some things that we're to take, and He's teaching these things. The purpose of the gospel, the purpose of the scriptures, is to teach us some things. You know, all scriptures given by the inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God be thoroughly furnished. It's given that we would be taught. We take these things and we learn of them, but we have to divide certain things. There are certain scriptures that we have to rightly divide. We have to understand that there's more than two lives represented in the Bible. There's eternal life and there's the life that we have here on this earth.
Amen.
There's more than one salvation. There's salvation, timely salvation. There's eternal salvation.
Amen.
There's many things that we have to divide and we have to put into context how it comes about, or it doesn't make any sense.
Amen.
Now, there's some scriptures in Matthew chapter 7 that I've read before, and I've heard people put it one way, and I was always a little confused, and I pray that the Lord has shined a little light on it today, that my studies, what I've determined here as a appropriate. But I want to look, and there's a whole group of scriptures. When the Lord ends up His teaching to all His disciples and to all the people on the mountain in the Sermon on the Mount, He winds it up at the end of chapter 7 and starting at verse 13, through verse 27, there's a lesson being taught. And I almost debated whether I needed to start at the end and work backward, or if I needed to start in the middle, or where I needed to start. I'm going to read it from the first to the end, and then I'm going to start at the beginning, but it preaches better from the end of it to the beginning of it, myself, for me. So you just pray for me. It says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built a house upon a rock. And rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Lord's teaching a lesson here, and first thing we have to divide is, so many people want to put that these things are all eternal texts. This "enter ye in at the straight gate," Enter ye into the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go which go thereat, because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Does not represent heaven and immortal glory. Right. We have nothing to do with entering into a gate to go to heaven. This eternal life that we have is given you by Christ Jesus. The very end, when it says that house was built upon a rock, we're built upon a solid rock, a foundation of Jesus Christ and nothing else. One thing he has put forth here that we immediately see him follow with the false prophets. Now, these gates, first of all, I'm going to say that this straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. This life is not eternal life. This is not your natural life. What this is an abundant life.
Right.
In chapter 10 of John, he says, I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. There's an abundant life that we can meet in God's church. When we met at Stringer Church, and the presence of the Lord was so mighty that there were people who were shouting and there was tears in their eyes and we were singing hymns. That was an abundant life. That's a life that you miss if you're not in the church.
Right.
These scriptures, these two scriptures in particular, represent being in Christ and being in God's church. Christ has given us all the doctrine to set up his church. He's given us the things here in this chapter. He says that it should be glorifying to him, because if you back up to chapter 6, when he was telling them how to pray, the first thing that you do is, my Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May the name of God be hallowed. May we give glory to it and honor to it and nothing else. But this is not a text of eternal walking, that I come in and I follow this path and that's going to get me to heaven, because it won't do it.
Right.
Friends, we all know it, and I'll tell you again, we're sinners. We sinners, if you think that, and I won't go there, but we're sinners. I'm going to just leave that alone for a second. And, we can't get ourselves to heaven.
Amen.
There's nothing that we could do. But he says that you enter into the gate. Now, this gate he speaks of, he says the enter the straight gate, and then he goes directly to the broad gate. He warns of the gate that is broad. You know, if you have a gate in your yard, I have a couple of gates. I have a fence backyard, and I have a gate that I walk through. You can't drive a truck through it. Believe me that. You can't drive anything through it, and I've got a gate you can drive a truck through. Now, there's two different gates that are represented right here. And he's saying one of them is wide. The way of the world is wide open. The way of evil is wide open. There are so many places. I don't want to talk about anybody else's church. There's so many places that represent themselves as churches that teach anything that is pleasing to the flesh. You enter into this gate. This gate is Jesus Christ. In John chapter 10, when he says, I am the gate. I may have to read that. He says that I am the gate of the sheep. He is the gate. It's through Christ that we enter in. It's not a wide gate. You don't come to Christ to add anything to Christ.
Amen.
He don't need anything added to him. He is a holy and a righteous God, and he knows his work. He was come to do a work. He came to lay down his life for the sheep, and that's what he did. But you come to the gate that is the narrow gate. This narrow gate, you can't drive a truck in it. This is a picture to me of coming into the church. And someone comes to the church, and I see the old Baptist church as the church spoken of. The more I dig into scriptures, Brother Shane Arnold said last week that he was being ordained. He said he started out his ministry. He started out trying to disprove Brother John Connolly and Brother Tom Griffin, to prove them wrong about election and about the God doing all the work and man doing nothing. He said, I set out and I started digging. He'd been in a church all his life. He said, the deeper I dug, the more I proved them right and me wrong. He realized that there was nothing to add. You can't come into the Lord's church. We welcome members into God's church. We welcome them to come and join with us and fellowship with us and seek with us and become members of the church. But you got to leave the world at the door, because it won't fit through that door.
That's right. Amen.
If you've got a truckload of things in this world that you're used to taking with you, your ball games and your televisions and those things, leave them outside.
Amen.
We don't need them.
Amen.
We got the Lord, and that's enough.
Amen.
And we can guarantee you, when you enter into this gate, it's a straight way and it's a narrow way. You ever been up in the mountains? I've been in the mountains a little bit. And some of those little roads, I'll tell you, the first time I took my wife, and she's extremely scared of heights, and I can tell you about her, because she's not here to get on to me. She'll hear about it, I'm certain. But you go up those little narrow roads, and there's rocks slid down, and it's one lane, and it looks like it's not wide enough to hold my car. And I'm thinking, you know, boy, if you try to take a truck up there, now you load down a truck with equipment, try to take it up that road, you're going to have to bulldoze the side off. See, we're not going to widen our doors. God's church, this little church is a small church. We look at the Primitive Baptist churches and this church today, it's not overflowing. There's times when there have been more people here. But you know, the scripture speaks of a little flock. The Lord says, "Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom of heaven." It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. All the things that you need are here. This abundant life is here, dwelling amongst the saints. Have you ever been to any place where you go and you wander in? And I have a friend, and I said, I'm not going to talk about other churches. So I'm not going to talk about them. I'm going to talk about how you're treated when you come into the church of God, the church, the little Primitive Baptist church. 90% of the time, you're greeted at the door by a preacher. You're greeted by the pastor. Someone's there to shake your hand. Someone's there to hug your neck. Someone's there to ask you how you're doing and tell you that they love you. And you'll see that love flows from heart to heart, from breast to breast, and it's contagious. And it's something that you want more and more of. We want to feel, because it's when we feel the Lord's presence when we're dwelling amongst his people.
Amen.
He promises where two or three are gathered, that he were there, there so shall I be with you. He's going to be with us where we're gathered. But immediately he warns of false doctrine. And I said I should preach this from the back, and I don't know if I can preach it from the middle. Immediately, what leads me to believe that this is speaking of the church, and I believe the old Baptist church, he warns of false doctrine. He's given us all these great things, all this doctrine and preaching and teaching of Christ he's given us, and he says immediately, beware of false prophets. Now, we know what it says here, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves, and you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even every good tree bringeth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Now, he says, beware of false doctrine. How are we going to know false doctrine? It says in Mark chapter 13, he says that there will be false doctrine. He says that false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. He's already warned us that there are going to be false prophets, that there's going to be false doctrine, because to draw one's away. How are we going to know what is a false doctrine? We've got to go to the end of the chapter. We've got to go to this house that's built upon a rock. It's built upon a rock. And in Luke, it says they digged deep to get this rock. It's not that we just say, okay, here's a rock and I'm going to sit. There's some little rocks out here in the yard. You can set something on them and it's not going to hold it. I got a rock at my house, one that's about half the size of this stand up here that I had brought in. You can't even set a house on it. And it took a log skidder to pick it up and set it in place at my house. That's a big rock. The Lord gave us a rock. He says, behold, I've laid in Zion a stone, a precious stone, an elect stone. He's given us an elect cornerstone, a precious cornerstone to base all this upon. Now, how do we determine what is false doctrine and what is not false doctrine? I heard Brother Ronnie Loudermill preach, and I got some CDs from Brother Mark, and that one I've left at the house. I was going to listen to it on the way this morning about the test of it. And I'm going to tell you the biggest test. The Lord gave it to us over there, and when he said, when you pray thy Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. If it doesn't glorify God, then it's false doctrine. Amen. If it gives the glory to anybody other than Jesus Christ, it is not right.
Amen.
You bring that, you can bring that stuff in the door and you can come and say, I did this, and no, you didn't. Understand something. It's a rock, it's a stone, it's so big that it's an anchor, sure and steadfast, sure anchor to you and I. We can anchor to that rock and tie our boat to it, and it's not going to come loose. That rock's not going to give. Your rope might break, but the rock's not going to give. It's there. Can any one of you go out there and make that a better rock? Can you say, rock be a rock? No, that rock's placed there by God. God founded his church, and he put his Lord down here, and he sent him here to found his church. He sent him here to save his children, and that's what he did. He didn't come to almost do it. I heard Brother David Montgomery preach about that too, an almost Savior. See, when you come, if you come and you're looking for a Savior, these men, they built a house on a rock, and the rains and the floods and the winds blew against it, and it didn't fall. It stayed there. What did Christ say? He told Peter, he said, thou art a, how did he put it? It's right here. Let's see. I'll get it. Thou art a rock. Thou art a stone, and upon this rock I built my church, is what he said. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If it's God's church, the gates of hell will not prevail against it.
Amen.
That doesn't mean it's going to be a big mega church.
Amen.
Lord, it would please me nothing better than to see the churches overflowing.
Amen.
But they're looking for something different. I don't know what it is. They've been led, a lot of the world have been led astray by false prophets. It tells us that you could tell them by their fruits. You could tell that the bear cross in sheep's clothing, because you know them by their fruits. The men gather grapes of thorns. You know that their fruits are their doctrine. Their doctrine. Is there a doctrine of thorns? Understand, we have a doctrine that is pleasing. We have a doctrine that as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing like it. It is the doctrine of Jesus Christ. It is the doctrine of Him. We believe that God come, He sent His Son to do all the work, and that His Son came and did all the work, and by that we are saved. I wasn't there when He bled out on the cross. Was I doing anything to help Him? No, I was doing more. I was too busy being a sinner in my life to come to put Him there. He didn't need my help. If it wasn't for my help, He wouldn't have been there. It was for the sin that He was there, and it's for sin that He hung. He says, if these doctrines are of thorns, if they come to you and they say, He's such a great God, and He almost got you there. And I heard Brother David Montgomery say, take this, and I'm going to take it, and I'm going to use it. Like he said, what do you think my wife would say if I told her, I almost loved you. I almost asked you to marry me. Do you think we have a God that would almost get you to heaven and say, wait, now it's up to you. Going to give you a chance to fall? The scriptures don't back that up. He said He dug deep in Luke. He dug deep for that rock. We dig deep in the scriptures. When you go in the church and you hear the doctrine, you hear the preaching, you dig deep and you confirm. Because if it's not glorifying God, if that preacher's trying to take any glory, then he's trying to steal from God. Because I can tell you now, it's not about Him. That's the doctrine of thorns. You gather grapes of thorns, you go to a blackberry patch and get some blackberries, you're going to get stuck.
Right.
There's going to be bleeding, there's going to be pain. A doctrine of thorns means you've got to do something. That means if I've got to do something, I've got a chance to fail.
Right. Amen.
And it's not just a chance, it's a very likely, very well, it's not just a liability, it's a guarantee
right.
of failure.
That's right.
It's a guarantee of failure. He says you'll know them by these things. He says, I've told you these things. We built upon that rock. It says that they gather a good tree, bring forth good fruit. If you hear the doctrine, and if you go to the church, and you want to separate between the different doctrines of the church, you hear a man preach that he's a sinner, and Jesus Christ is God Almighty, and He's done all the work. That's good fruit. That's good doctrine. We need to follow after that. We're built on a rock, and we need to stay solidly founded upon that rock. So that we don't come loose. You keep anchored to that rock. You know, our Lord, that rock, we're anchored to that rock here on this earth. But He's also, we're anchored to one that's in heaven.
Amen.
That rock is now in heaven. Our Lord and Savior is sitting on the right hand of God.
Amen.
Elder Tom Griffin, and I'm going to steal from all the sermons I've heard recently. I'll tell you, they were just too good. I just have to... I just have to reuse them. Elder Tom Griffin preached a sermon for us last week. And he said, you know, no one ever died in the presence of Jesus Christ. He was talking about Lazarus. He said, matter of fact, they had trouble staying dead when he came around.
Amen.
When Christ walked up to the bier where they were leading out the young man and the widow woman, he sat up.
Right.
When he called Lazarus from the graves, Lazarus come forth. But his sister said, Lord, if you'd have been here, they hadn't died. And that's the truth. No one had ever died in His presence. He called Lazarus forth. He didn't ask Lazarus if he wanted to come out of that grave where he'd been for 4 days stinking. Now I'm going to tell you, if I was laying in that grave and I could get out, I'd probably be clawing the top out of the coffin and digging out. I'd be like one of these, what do they say, The Walking Dead, that show The Walking Dead. You'd see me walking around here trying to, I feel like that sometimes now. I can tell you, Lazarus came out of that tomb. But the best part of it was the Lord told Mary right there, She said, I know he'll rise again on the third day, on the resurrection. I know he'll rise again at the resurrection. The Lord says, I am the resurrection.
Amen. That's right.
When Lazarus heard that voice, he come up out of that grave.
Amen.
We look to our Lord and we're founded upon that rock of salvation. And I don't know how long I've been up here. On that rock of salvation, we're founded and we're based on it. And we're hooked to it and anchored to it. And understand that he's a part of you. Only way you could know it is that God had given you an unction to know these things. Only way we could know it. And you feel that when that voice, we want to hear that voice again someday. Because when the trump comes, you understand what he says? When he speaks, when God comes in the sky and he speaks, come you blessed of my Father, the ones in the grave are not going to have any option but to come up out of that grave and to meet him in the air. It's not if you want to. It's not I'm reaching down my hand if you'll reach up. No, sir. It's come and you're going to come. Friends, there's one scripture in here that always troubled me, and I'm going to close. We're going to cover this, and I'm going to close. It says, the verses here that says, where it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? I always trouble myself with this, and I think this is actually a touch on eternal, the Lord speaking here.
Right.
So, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? But there's a problem with these scriptures right here that they're doing. I told you, the true test of true doctrine, all the glory goes to
right.
God.
Amen.
This we won't work.
Amen.
Have we done anything? Lord, did you not do wonderful works through one of your servants? They're trying to take the credit here instead of him. The Lord, we're out here doing this. See, the works of the flesh will not get you into heaven.
Amen.
Right.
If these men have cast out devils, and he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. The works of the flesh are not what it's going to be. We're anchored to that stone. We don't want to be on the sand. Like I said, the sand is this ground up rocks. We want the solid stone. The cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. If we look in for the litmus test to the correct, to the doctrine, the litmus test to God's church is that all glory goes to him.
Right.
None to me, none to these other brethren. I love you all and I look forward to hearing you preach.
Amen.
But may all the glory be given to God.
Amen.